You might like to keep Mark chapter 1 open. We're going to be looking at that first, and then a bit later on we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3. And this is the, it's sort of the AGM sermon, because it's the AGM today. I have like a sort of an AGM sermon. It's a bit like a state of the parish address, which is sort of, you know, loosely sort of based on the idea of the State of the Union address that the President of the United States gives. The only difference, well, actually there's quite a few differences, but one particular difference is you don't have to stand every 15 seconds and applaud. Actually, just please stay seated and listen. So why don't I pray for us, and then we're going to look at this. Gracious Lord, we do ask that you would help us to indeed stop, look, and listen to your word and all that you are calling us to be and do for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can't remember when I heard this. I can't even remember who told me this, but it struck me when I first heard it, and I've never forgotten it. Basically, they said that Jesus, when he said to people to follow him, whenever Jesus said, follow me, the origin of the word to follow or to follow me is actually based in the words to walk. Walk with me is another way of translating it. Follow me, walk with me. I've never forgotten it, because I think it actually shows quite clearly what Jesus was asking us to do. For instance, do you notice that Jesus never ever said, when you have got your house in order, then come and be with me? He never says that, does he? He never says, when you're perfect, not only can you throw the first stone, but you now can be a Christian. He never says that. Rather, he says, follow me. He says it often, actually, to many and various people that he meets along the way. For instance, in the Gospel of Matthew, you hear it 5 times. The Gospel of Mark, 4. The Gospel of Luke, 5 times. The Gospel of John, 6 times. You hear the words, follow me or walk with me. And what's really intriguing is that whenever Jesus says it, more often than not, he's actually walking when he says it. He says it to people to walk with him. And we saw that in Mark's gospel, which was read for us just a few moments ago. If you've got it there, have a look. Mark chapter 1. In verses 14 and 15, we get a bit of context here. It's after John has been put into prison. Jesus begins his ministry proclaiming the good news. The good news being that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then look what it says in verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon. Simon is Peter, later on his name gets changed to Peter. So he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. I always find that funny that Mark had to put in, for they were fishermen. Why else would you be casting a net into the lake? Anyway, there you go. Casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. When you have your house in order and you are perfect, you will be one of my followers, Jesus said to them. That's not in your translation? That's not in mine either. Rather, what does it say? Come, follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, walk with me, Jesus is literally saying to these men. And what's their response? Verse 18, at once they left their nets and followed him. At once they dropped their nets and follow him. And this is not an isolated occurrence, because if you read just a couple of verses further, what do you see? You see James and John. They're also fishermen, so they're also throwing out their nets. And Jesus calls them, follow me, and they too drop their nets. And in fact, if you read a bit further on in the gospel and in the other gospels, you'll see Matthew. Jesus comes along to Matthew and says, Matthew, come and follow me. He doesn't drop his nets because he's a tax collector, and so he just walks away from his booth and follows Jesus. He walks with him. Now, it's quite possible that these men, Simon and Andrew and James and John, they might have heard Jesus speaking at many and various times, excuse me, up until now. But even if they had heard Jesus before, even if this was not the first time that they had seen and heard Jesus, The point is still the same. Jesus invites them to follow it, to walk with him. And they take up that offer. I don't know about for you, but for me, it's a beautiful picture of what a believer, a follower of Jesus is. They are literally a follower. It's about journeying with Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus. It's not about being static. It's not saying, oh, a Christian is someone who believes this, this, and this, and then that's it. No, it's more than that. To be a Christian is all about movement. It's not about sitting still, as it were. And I don't know about for you, but for that has tremendous implications for us as believers and also as a church. Well, let me explain. If it's about following Jesus, then you can't say, I'm sorry, but you can't say, oh, I don't need to be part of a church, because it doesn't work that way. Because the church is the body of Christ in motion. If you're a believer, you can't say, oh, I don't need to read my Bible. Oh, I know it anyway, but I don't need to read it. Well, because if you're walking with Jesus, you want to know which way you're walking, don't you? So you've got to read it, and it's got to be preached, and it's got to be spoken of. And this might be a little controversial, but I'm just going to throw it out there. You can't say, if you are a follower of Jesus, well, I don't need to be part of a small group. I don't need to meet with other Christians. Roger Federer just regained the number one ranking in the world as a tennis player. Isn't that incredible? He must be at least 75 by now. Tennis is an individual sport, right? Wrong. He just happens to be the one holding the racket. He's got a team around him in order that he can hold the racket well. I reckon this calling of Jesus to follow him is not only incredible and has tremendous implications for us, but it's just a beautiful image. I can see in my own mind's eye Jesus calling people, walk with me, follow me. To James, to John, to Andrew, to Simon, to Greg. Walk with me, Greg. I'm going this way. Want to come? That's the invitation. It's the invitation to every single one of us. And it would be wrong for me to go any further at this point without saying, have you responded to that invitation? Because the invitation made some 2,000 years ago to Simon and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, and the invitation made to Greg some, I don't know, 30-something years ago, is the same invitation that's made to each one of us. You just got to insert your own name in the invitation. Walk with me, Jesus says. Follow me. If that's something you need to know more about, then please, please come and see me. Come and see Trev, see Rob, see whoever it is that you trust. For the journey of walking with Jesus starts right here and right now. There's no need to be perfect or to get your house in order. Just start walking with him. And it's that very same idea that gets picked up in the Philippians passage, which was read for us. So if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to Philippians chapter 3, you'll see here that the context is that Paul is writing to the followers of Jesus in Philippi. He's explaining what living for Christ means, that it talks about a righteousness that comes from faith. And then notice what he says in chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. Isn't that interesting? I haven't been made perfect yet. But I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See that idea of pressing on? It's like the following on. It's the following Jesus. It's the walking. It's the movement. It's the journey rather than being static. And then Paul goes on to explain what pressing on means, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's not the time to go through all of this now, but you can see this whole idea of God calling us in Christ Jesus to follow him. And this pressing on involves two things. One, it involves forgetting what is behind and straining towards that which is in front. Now, when he says to forget what is behind, he's not saying just forget your whole life, you know, mental blank, it's all wiped. No, it's talking about not being constrained by that which has been forgiven by Jesus in the past. It's not an anchor anymore. It's not a handicap. It's been dealt with. So we forget that which is behind and we now strain. Not in our own power, that's not what he means, but rather the road will not be easy, but Christ will be with us, the Holy Spirit will empower us, and we keep the focus as we go ahead. In fact, these two passages, and I could have picked numerous other passages in the scriptures, speaks about the Christian faith being a journey, being a pilgrimage, pressing on, not resting on our laurels, following Jesus as, get this, individuals and as a church. It's a journey as individuals and it's a journey as a church as we follow Jesus. Now, why do I mention all this? Well, I think it's because as we come to this AGM, as we think about the year that's been, and we think about the year and years ahead of us, it can be very easy for us here at HT, particularly this year, I think, to sit back and relax. The journey's over. I had some time during the week to read back through all my AGM reports and my AGM sermons and the minutes of the last number of years. Yeah, I know, I don't really have a life. And so I was reading back through them. And the thing that I noticed as I read back through them was how many times, particularly in recent years, the word big and the word scary and the word plans and vision and dreams comes up, or other similar words. They came up all the time in the reports and the sermons and the other bits that were said. We called it the 2010 and beyond, didn't we? And there were aspects of it which were huge, big, scary. And it involved a lot of change and it involved a lot of hard work and effort. Massive changes, not just in buildings. Let me explain some other things. Massive changes in ministry as well. It's probably hard for us to remember, and this is why I think it's good for us to go over it and to remember it. But it wasn't that long ago that we were talking to BCA about putting a full-time resident minister in Strathfield, say. That's Steve Weikart. Wasn't that long ago? And that's happened in just this part of the 2010 and beyond. We're also talking about what do we do with Christchurch and the ministry happening there, and what's been able to happen is we've been able to sort of bless the work of House of True Light, which is put the two together, Christchurch and House of True Light, and now we get Christ True Light Church and the Chinese ministry that's going on there and doing great things. But this service that I am standing in today was still only fortnightly when I turned up, just a handful of people as it were, and we made a conscious effort to get involved in children's ministry. Why? Because it is a lie that the children are the church of tomorrow. It's a lie. They are the church of today and tomorrow, in the same way that we are the church of today and tomorrow and also were of yesterday. And so we put the effort in, and whilst maintaining traditional aspects of seniors ministry and the ability to be still able to have three full-time members here in the ministry team, it's been hard work and it's involved our finances and our effort. This has nothing to do with me, but I just notice whilst we've been talking about this over the last years, but we've had an increase of about 65% in our giving. Yeah, that's right, 65% in our giving in order to be able to achieve this. And we had hoped by the end of last year, but it will happen within the next month or two, for these buildings now to be debt-free. We're just waiting for the legal stuff to catch up. And some of you may not have been here that long. You might forget that last year we built a wall. There's something else I've got in common with Donald Trump. We built a wall. The difference being our wall was temporary, we paid for it, and then we pulled it back down again. Because you might remember at the AGM last year, there was a wall down there as we were building on the other side. In fact, it can be very easy, even if you've been here for a long time in this journey, to forget what it was like. So I've got a couple of pictures to show up on the screen. Have a look at this first one. That's what the church used to look like around about 10 or more years ago. Looking from straight across Keck Street, you go, well, what's the difference? Well, can you see the playground? It's not there. Can you see the fences? Can you see any of the other part? No. How about this one? This is looking from the western side. The ramp's not there. The western entrance isn't there. And if you had a picture of the toilets, they were just disgusting. Have a look at the next one. That's the office and the old rectory. Again, you can't see the playground. And that building now is encompassed in the whole facilities. Have a look at this one. That is the driveway. Remember when we used to have, things in the driveway? Well, we still do in a sense, but now there's a roof over the whole lot. It's just all encompassed. And if you look at this next one, that's what the side used to look like down here. For those of you who can't remember, boy, it was a goat track. And whenever it rained, boy, it was a mess. And lastly, that's where we used to have morning tea. It's a little bit dark, but hey, that was the brown bricks. And that's what it did. So that's just some of the changes that have happened in just the last little while. And I think there's a trap, a temptation for us to, as it were, to sit back, relax and think that the journey is over. Now, I'm about to say the next bit with great hesitation because there are cyclists in the room. Some who know a lot more about cycling than I do. But I've learned some things whilst watching the Tour de France over the last couple of years. I have learned to admire the ones that climb mountains. You know, there's one thing to be a sprinter, it's over a couple of hundred metres, but to be able to climb those mountains and then, at the last moment, still kick and leave your competitors in your wake. But when you get this incredible amount of stamina and power and focus to get to the top of the mountain, but when you get to the top of the mountain, unless there's a finishing line at the top, you've got to go down the other side. And you might think, oh, that's easy. It's all downhill. It's not easy, is it, Eddie? In fact, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of courage as you, as it were, hurtle down the other side, and an incredible amount of skill as you go through the bends at incredible speed. You have to keep focused up and down. Now, we're not hurtling down the other side, so I guess that might be where this analogy breaks down, okay? But if you can bear with me, it's as if we're, in a sense, we've reached the top. And there's a few little things with the 2010 and beyond that we're just finishing off. But in some sense, it's come to an end. Whereas it were at the top. Interestingly, a couple of months ago, before Bishop Andrew retired, he said to me, Greg, what you need to do is you need to get another phrase to unite what you're all doing out there at Holy Trinity. So the beyond 2010 and beyond, 2010 and beyond, which talked about what we're going to do in ministry and buildings and all the other things, he said, you've got to get another one. Well, I haven't come up with one yet. 2018 and beyond just sort of, just passe really, isn't it? So I'll have to come up with something at some stage. But it doesn't matter what that is, because the point is this, that we need to keep pressing on. In the same way as we go down the other side, like a cyclist, with boldness and with skill and with focus, moving ahead. Which is what the whole Christian faith is about, remember? Because what's the Christian faith about? It's about movement. It's about journey. It's about pilgrimage. It's about following and walking with Jesus. So, Greg, what will all this look like in the next year or so? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. Let me give you the answer. Well, some of the answer. And I want to do that by just picking on what we often use here at Holy Trinity. We talk about the four W's. They're sort of like our DNA. They're just a tool, though, okay? They're just a tool. So just think of it in that way. But they flow from what God is on about and what God requires of us. Firstly and briefly, God is a God of welcome. One of the things you notice in the scriptures is God welcomes people into his family. That's what he does, doesn't it? We too are to be a people of welcome. Not just welcoming people and saying, oh, would you like to have a cup of tea with me at morning tea? By the way, that's a hint to say to people around you, would you like to have a cup of tea with me at morning tea? But it's also a chance to welcome them also into God's family, to be followers of Jesus. God is a God of his word. He created through his word. Jesus is the word. We follow the word. That's why we preach from the word. We speak about the word. We study the word in our groups, as individuals, as a church. God is a God to be worshipped, and him alone. We're to take that seriously. So we worship God when we gather here as a people, but we know it's not just when you gather here for an hour or so on a Sunday, don't we? We know that worship is the whole part of our life as we walk with Jesus. And so the rest of the week is also worship as well. And God witnesses to his own glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, the Bible says. That's God witnessing to his own glory. And then he commands us to also be witnesses to that glory as well. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. So there are some of the things that we are on about as a church here, four W's. And you would know that they are the headings in our map, in our mission action plan. You know that, don't you? Because you have read your AGM reports. And you would have seen in your AGM reports our map, our mission action plan for the next 12 months or so. And they've got those four W's there, and there's different things under each of those. Now, there's not the time to go through all that now, but the idea is for us to keep focused as we go over and then continue down the other side with skill, with courage, with focus. But I will draw your attention just to one of the W's, the witness ones, under our map. There's a number of things there. Trev's already spoken to us again about the Jesus the Game Changer. You would have noticed that's under the W, the Witness W. Uni Cooking 101 is something we're seeing if we can get it off the ground. Community Meal Explorations is another idea of witness. A midweek kids club trial is another opportunity that we'd look to try and bring into place this year. Another comes under the heading of witness. We want to take that which God has blessed us with and be a blessing back into the community. They all come under that idea of witness. I'm hesitant to say this, so please hear me clearly. Jesus calls people to follow him. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian, to follow him. I'm not calling you to follow me in that same way. I'm not your Lord and Saviour. There is someone who is much better and much more qualified. But what I am saying is, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to walk and to journey with what's been outlined in our map, what we stand for here? See, the ministry team and the wardens and the parish council and myself are committed to seeing this place, this church, as God's church, stepping out into the world. A church of welcome, a church of the word, a church of witness, a church of worship. What about you? What are you committed to? Will you walk with us in this journey? If so, then I want to invite you to say this prayer that's on the screen. I'm hoping it's on the screen. Yep, with me. If not, if you're not committed to that, then that's fine. Just, I'm not going to notice, but please don't pray it. But if you are, then pray it with me as we commit ourselves to what God has called us to do and be here at HD. If you're committed to it, pray with me. Lord God, I commit myself to your call on my life, and I will follow you. I commit myself to the leadership of this church, and I will walk with them. I commit myself to the work of this church, and I will walk with my brothers and sisters. I commit myself to the work of this parish, my gifts, money, time, and effort. I commit myself to be a person of your word who welcomes, worships, and witnesses. I commit myself to you. Amen.